Hello, and hello, Ian.
Hello there, Elizabeth.
You've been covering some of the more contentious races in this primary, so what districts are you going to be keeping a close eye on today?
Well, there are a total of 27 primary races. One of the most significant is in Cranston, where two Republicans, Stephen Frias and Shauna Lawton, are squaring off for the chance to run against the man who is House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello in November. And this is likely to be a very low turnout election. Maybe just 200 or 300 votes could decide what happens. And Frias, on paper, is the better candidate. He's more versed in the issues and more articulate. But when you have so few voters turning out, that's one of the top races. The race for the seat held by House Majority Leader John DeSimone in Providence is certainly a high-profile race, just because Majority Leader is the second-ranking position in the House of Representatives. He faces a challenge from a first-time candidate, Marcia Ranglin Vassell. Certainly, it would be a huge upset if she were to win, but that's why elections are held.
Any newcomers who have a chance of unseating longtime politicians in this primary, or any other surprises you're watching for?
Yeah, usually there's a surprise or two in every election cycle. One race that I'm very interested in is on the south side of Providence. Representative Anastasia Williams has been in office for about 24 years. She's got some gum on the bottom of her shoes, metaphorically, in terms of some issues over the years. She's being challenged by Michael Gazdacco, who works for a developer. And it's a district mostly populated by Black and Latino voters. Gazdacco happens to be a white or Caucasian. But the question is, are voters tired of Representative Williams at this time, or will they return her for another term?
Ian, with so many registered Democrats in Rhode Island, this primary is very much about the Democratic Party. And of course, we all know that a majority of Rhode Island Democrats voted for Bernie Sanders in the presidential primary earlier this year. Is Bernie Sanders having an impact on this primary?
Yeah, there's a big Bernie Sanders undercurrent in these primary elections. About half of these 27 primaries feature a progressive candidate, mostly challengers, although also a few incumbents. And the Rhode Island Progressive Democrats are trying to make some serious inroads into the General Assembly. They think if they can pick up a couple of seats, they can build up the Progressive Caucus, the strength of which has kind of waxed and waned over the years. They contend that too many Democrats in the legislature are kind of Republicans in disguise. They say it's time for real Democrats to step up. Of course, not everyone sees it that way, but that's going to be one of the big questions that will be answered in this primary election, whether progressive Democrats can pick up more seats.
During the last legislative session, there was a high-profile controversy over tolls for truck drivers, and ethics was another big issue, especially after a Bristol lawmaker resigned, facing a law enforcement probe. Another lawmaker, this one from Providence, was found to be living outside of his legislative district.
John Carnevale.
That's right. How have these controversies come into play during the primary campaigns?
Well, I think Rhode Island is not unique in that many legislative bodies are not particularly popular. We know Congress is very unpopular and voters are kind of angry and ornery about the economy here in Rhode Island, which is still certainly less than robust. The question is, does anything really happen? Does anything change? Are there attractive candidates for those who are upset with the status quo to support? And primary elections like this one are typically very low voter contests. They do set the stage and narrow the field for the November general election. But the question really is, are these people or groups who are dissatisfied with the status quo, have they organized effectively to try and really make an effective change in these elections?
And in some cases, there will be no challenger in November. So this is kind of the main election, or the challenger in November doesn't seem to have much traction. I'm thinking about maybe the North Providence mayoral race.
Right. There's kind of a token opponent who's an independent in November. And as you say, Elizabeth, in many of these primary elections, this is the deciding race for whether a candidate will move forward or not. Not true for all the races, but for many of them.
So, Ian, you mentioned turnout is expected to be low. Why is that?
My view is that we live in a very apolitical society. I mean, we like to think that we'd love politics here in New England. But the fact is, if you went out in Kennedy Plaza and asked people who the House Speaker is, many people would have no clue. A lot of people don't really pay attention to politics, particularly the more granular level of a primary election. And there are not a lot of high profile races. Rhode Island's congressional representatives have kind of token opponents. So there's not been a lot of interest associated with those races. The presidential election is in November. That's not in play in the primary. So that helps to explain why.
And Ian, we talked about truck tolls and ethics, but are there any other issues that you're seeing bubble up?
You know, I think there's still a strong level of discontent among Rhode Island voters going back to the meltdown of 38 studios and how the state's economic recovery has been somewhat tepid. The thing is, though, that to beat someone, you have to have someone else. You have to have a level of political organization. And the question really hangs out there for the November election. Will either the progressives or the Republicans make any significant gains? I think at this point, it would be a little bit surprising to see either of those two interest groups capture more than a small number of additional seats.
Ian Donis covers politics for Rhode Island Public Radio, and he'll be following the primary results as they come in this evening. You can follow him on Twitter at Ian Don or on the web. He has a blog, the On Politics blog at ripr.org. Ian, great talking with you.
Always a pleasure, Elizabeth.